sporting fitness training expert from River Valley Health, Dana Perkin, joining me. 16 years fitness training experience. Dana, the big thing about training now, for parents out there with their kids and everybody, a lot of us don't really know how to do it. We realize the importance of it, especially for kids who are in athletics. And the big one's overtraining.
Absolutely.
Right? As, so in your experience, 16 years, you've trained, pros at all levels and young ones. For kids first, for the parents with kids, what's the most common mistake parents are making with their children for overtraining?
The biggest one is probably focusing all their training all year long on the same sport. So once, say, hockey, once that off season comes, the main concern is still hockey all through the off season. Whereas with young kids, what we want to do is we want to focus more on athleticism all around, making sure their mechanics are the way they should be. That's the biggest deterrent to injury, is just getting those proper mechanics. Now, if they spend all year working on hockey, the same muscles get used all the time. They keep getting tighter and tighter and tighter in those muscles. Opposing muscle groups shut down, and that's where injury occurs. You get the same muscle going all the time. It never gets a recovery, and bang, all of a sudden you're hurt.
See, now that's an interesting one, because a lot of people always say, well, Gregor, what's the negative in having your kid play hockey all year round other than he doesn't play other sports? So if you're playing, and hockey's a very unique stride because it's kind of unnatural.
Absolutely.
So if they're doing it a lot and it's really in your hips, what has a tendency maybe to shut down?
So if every muscle kind of has an opposing muscle, and the opposing muscle to the hip flexors and the groin and the lateral quads is your butt, or your glutes should be your primary mover in that skating stride, in a running stride, in a jump. The more those quads get worked, and they're going to get worked in a hockey stride, they are going to work, absolutely. The stronger they get and the tighter they get, the more those glutes get inhibited. So that's one of the big things you want to focus on, is in that off season, and even during the season, getting those areas working and getting them stronger. That's going to make you a better hockey player all around.
What do you find is the best way to work your hip flexors?
The hip flexors?
Yeah.
If you want to work the hip flexors more, most people, honestly, running, jumping, again, that hockey stride, that's a muscle that gets overworked all the time. Even just sitting here right now as we are, those hip flexors are in a flexed position. So they're being shortened all day long. We want to lengthen those things out and let the butt do its job. Let the butt take care of movement.
Do most of us not use our butt?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about it. In, especially North America, we start off with at least 13 years of school, sitting at a desk, 6 hours a day. And then most of us go into sports that are quad dominant. So there's more quads going, less butt going there. And then a lot of us go into desk jobs from that. So again, we're sitting. Those hip flexors get super tight, and that is enough to just shut the glutes off.
Dana Perkin from River Valley Health joins us. So what are your activities as a trainer? Like, obviously you can be in the gym, but people can do it at home. What do you recommend people to do to ensure they're engaging their glutes on, to just try to at least balance out all the inactivity of sitting?
Well, what you want to do is just stretch those quads and hip flexors a bit. But the biggest thing is basically turn the light switch on from the brain to the glutes. So there's a few simple, we call them activation exercises to do that, where you're focused on just using the glute muscles. One is a clamshell. One is a lying on your stomach called a prone glute raise. And they're just very, very focused on the glutes. And it's hard to teach yourself how to do that sometimes at first. Because you need to get someone hands-on and make sure the right muscles are firing and make sure those hip flexors aren't firing, because they're probably going to want to go.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Yeah. If you do the exercise but your hip flexors are firing before your glutes, then
you're just tightening those hip flexors up more and more.
Now, you have a unique background. You train all the hockey guys and stuff, but you got the martial arts background.
Absolutely.
And in martial, are kids who, because it's funny, and the reason I ask this question is my buddy, he's got his young boys in martial arts now.
Yep.
And he feels like, it's giving them some confidence, but he feels that they're, it's actually helped them in hockey by being in martial arts. He feels they move better.
Absolutely. So because they're involved in more than one sport, all around their athleticism is going to be better.
Okay.
That's the big thing, especially with kids. The best thing you can do is get them involved in more than one sport, so they're not following the same movement pattern all the time. That's a wonderful thing about martial arts. There's a lot of mobility and flexibility there, and not just martial arts, there's plenty of other sports. Really just breaking up, so it's not the same sport through the winter, through the fall, spring, summer, through all of it. You want the best athletes can do different things. The best athletes in any sport can usually transition over to another sport very, very well.
you mentioned how the number one mistake is being a sports specialist in one sport, which has really kind of come about, I would say, in the mid-90s. And here we are 20 years later, and right. people are suddenly saying, okay, wait a second. This actually is counterproductive.
Yes.
Are you seeing a return from the young kids that you train in of them becoming more athletes and not sports focused? Or are we still seeing the majority of kids, whether it's dance, whether it's martial arts, whether it's hockey or whatever, that they're still too one sport centric?
There's still probably a dominant one sport going on. It is. I do believe it's getting better. It's transitioning into that play different sports at different times of the year, and especially for those younger players. That's one of the things that we are actually endeavoring to do at the base in River Valley Health is, with young kids especially, get them into our athlete programs that focus on just improving mechanics, improving general athletic ability rather than just one.
And body mechanics are probably the number one thing that will impact performance regardless
Absolutely.
Of your sport, right?
Yes.
And I think it's probably the thing that's least focused on when it comes to training. You know, hockey players, you know, they're taking hockey camp, they're on the ice, you know, they're goaltender schools and everything. Very few of them are taking body mechanics.
Right. So mechanics is just simply the way your body moves. And there's a set pattern that the body should move to prevent injury, for the right muscles to do the right job, and to be efficient. And that's really regardless of sport. There's certain ways the body should move. If you do anything, whether you're a walker, a runner, play any sport, it is going to change your mechanics. You're going to have patterns that are all your own. What you want to do is reinforce those proper patterns and just prevent the overuse of the muscles from the patterns that you're doing consistently.
Dana Perkin from River Valley Health joins us. We are live at United Cycle. Is there, and you've trained for 16 years, is there a clear-cut common injury in hockey? Is it groins automatically? Or
predominantly groins. There's groins. There's sometimes that hamstring pull, but the big one is groin.
And that's because why?
It comes right back to those mechanics, right? You're always using that skating stride. Those quads get really, really tight, overused. The quads, the hamstrings, and the groin tighten up. And then with that skating stride, with that lengthening of the legs slightly out sideways and back, that groin gets stretched when it's super, super tight and gets angry and pulls.
We've heard a lot about, you know, training in during the season, you know, for kids and pros even, is obviously difficult for sure to maintain your strength. So what do you recommend? What is a good guideline, you know, for kids who are at that training age, which we would say is probably, you know, 13 or 14, where they're starting to train and maybe they're thinking, okay, I'm a band player, I'm a midget, whatever mm-hmm. sport I'm playing, I'm going to start serious. And during the season, to not lose strength, which is virtually impossible, but try to maintain it, is it one off-ice workout session to two on-ice? Like, how do you balance it? Is there a ratio?
You know, there's no magic number, no magic ratio. The interesting thing is, and this goes all the way to the NHL level, training done right, the strength that you accumulate over the off-season, which is where you want to make all your big gains in strength and power,
okay,
is going to last through the season. You will actually come out of that season being strong. You'll need a little cues and a little bit of pick it back up, but you will maintain that strength through the season just because you are on the ice. You are doing that
okay.
on ice training. What you want to focus on is maintaining that fast twitch ability, not loaded, just the ability for the body to move really quickly.
How do you do that? How do you maintain that?
There's several exercises you can do. I hesitate to use the word plyometric exercises because that has a connotation of really heavy, really explosive, but you can do things like sprints, you can do ball exercises, acceleration exercises, just to keep that fast twitch
okay.
firing. Those are things we definitely specialize in with what we do at the base. The big thing with that is you don't want to overdo it because you're still getting a lot of that on the ice. During the season, you want to maintain. You want to maintain mobility. You want to maintain power. Even that strength maintenance, we're not going to load you a ton during the season. That's just setting you up for injury, right? Everything's getting worked a lot. So you really want to focus on those, correcting those imbalances that are going to grow over the hockey season, and keeping all those stabilizers and those primary movers firing, working on those mechanics.
Dana Perkin joins us from the base by RVH. You know, you guys train a lot of, you know, functional movements and things like that. You've got the indoor track there and all the gym stuff. It's fantastic. running to skating, right? The compare, or I guess the connection between the two, where, because you can't train on the ice all summer long. Obviously, you need some rest and everything.
Right.
But if you're running, is that going to correlate to a person becoming quicker as a skater?
The big thing that you're going to get from running is you're going to build and maintain that aerobic base and that anaerobic base.
And I mean sprinting, obviously not running marathons long distance.
Okay. Now, the sprinting, because it all, once again, it comes down to if you're using proper mechanics, even in that sprint phase, you're using your glutes slightly differently, but you still should be driving off that glute, right? That should be your primary mover. And it is working fast switch. So that fast sprinting will correlate to making you quicker on the ice. You don't want to just leave it at sprinting. You want to incorporate other exercises, and as you get closer to the season, more sports-specific explosive exercises. But yes, you can definitely correlate sprints to on ice.
Are there any mixed martial arts movements that you find help and benefit hockey players?
You know, in specific, I wouldn't say there's any exact movements. What would benefit hockey players from martial arts is that explosive ability.
Okay.
Martial artists that have been working at it for a while are extremely explosive, usually through their hips.
And obviously that's where you can generate a lot of your power.
Like, yes.
Hockey players, as much as everybody wants the great biceps and the ripped abs and stuff.
Right.
Your trunk in hockey is the number one most
absolutely
important part.
Any sport you want, if you really narrow it down even from trunk to just that core stability, that's what you need. That's fundamental need to be good at any sport. That stabilizes your spine. It gives a solid platform for your shoulders to work off of. It gives a solid platform for your hips and your legs to work off of. Strongest guys on the ice, the guys who cannot be pushed off a puck, have the strongest core. They are going to be absolutely solid.
Quickly, your best recommendations for core exercises that are going to benefit players of any, I should just say benefit athletes.
Planks. Hands down, planks.
Now, proper planks,
proper
correct?
Proper planks,
which
absolutely
is engaged in your lats and your glutes?
Your lats, your glutes, and your abdominals, your internal abdominals.
And so why does that benefit? Because a lot of people say, hey, wait a second, I'm just laying in one position, and yes, I've got my – and for people out there, that means engage your lats, so you're kind of squeezing your shoulder blades together, and get your glutes firing. Why is that such a benefit?
So your glutes and your lats are big stabilizers and big movers of the upper and lower body, and getting them to tie in with your core at the same time, that's what we're working towards. That is the fundamental. You can get one or the other working, and you'll be stronger, but not as strong as you could be. You get that entire pillar going, and you're a rock.
Average person is planking correctly. How long can they plank for?
Planking correctly, I would say on average, people who come in, 20, 30 seconds.
20
tops.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that'll plank, but they're not planking properly.
We've had people come in and I can plank 8 minutes. No, you can't. Sorry. Not to be a jerk. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You get everything engaged and it's extremely hard.
Yeah. And you will get, so when you're planking, do you do intervals of 20 seconds and then rest for 20? What would be something? What would
you
be
know, that's time? That's kind of a typical starting point. If you can get someone to 20 seconds at first on a front plank and a solid side plank for 10, 15 seconds, that's a great starting point.
Okay.
And then we build that very quickly. Yeah. Like in general, I don't want to move people out of, I never move people out of planking, but I don't want to transition them to too much loaded movement until they can do a solid 1 minute front plank and 30 seconds on each side.
And you would go 1 minute right into 30, then right into 30.
Absolutely.
So you got to basically plank for 2 minutes consecutive.
That's what we want to build up.
Engage in your last year. How many of you right now in your office during the break, see if you can plank legitimately where you get your lats and your glutes firing. So anybody who says 8 minute plank, that's not a legit plank.
Not a legit plank.
Yeah, unless you're some diehard guy who's been properly planking for years.
For years.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's a... I think I can do a minute. But
we'll test it.
We will test it out. Dana Perkin from The Base by RVH. I really appreciate you coming down. If you want to book an appointment with Dana or any other great staff, call him 430-9224. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, sir.